Daniel and someone who has been, I like to use the word faithful. And I know you don't use it with a politician very often, but Senate Republican President Len Fasano has been with us all the time when he was first running and everything.
What's going on, Brad? And joining us now in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Senate Republican President Len Fasano. Senator, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good,
doing
Senator.
Fine. How are you doing?
Yeah.
No worse for the wear.
Well, speaking of wear, obviously the negotiations continue, but Senator, I'm sure you've heard that the President of the United States already has announced this morning that as of today, the administration is going to stop these subsidies to the insurance companies which supply health insurance on the exchanges such as Access Connecticut. And if that happens and these insurance companies decide they're going to get off the exchange, it's going to bump a lot of these people onto Medicaid, I would guess. What's that going to do to the state budget in current negotiations?
Well, what's interesting is currently we have two insurance companies on the exchange. One is going to leave very, very, very shortly, they have announced. So Connecticut's already in trouble on their exchange. And Senator Kelly, who is an unbelievable advocate for health care and very, very smart guy, used to work for DSS and knows this stuff a lot better than I do, as I've been advocating for over a year that Connecticut needs to look at their exchange much differently. The Lieutenant Governor, Senator Kelly, and a bunch of folks are getting together and have been talking about a different way of handling the exchange. As far as what the president did, I read or heard about that, I should say, this morning, and I was going to call Senator Kelly to figure out exactly what does that mean to our to the impact of the state and how it's going to affect the state. And some folks, frankly, may fall into a gap where they can't afford the affordable care insurance and they have too much money to get under the Medicare and Medicaid program. And what do we do with those people? That, to me, is going to be a very, very big issue. And I need to get more up to speed on what that impact is locally. Unfortunately, I can't talk at any great length because I don't know those issues.
But it's going to, we know it's going to shake it up. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to shake it up. And, you know, healthcare costs have been a big issue across this country, and we do need to do something, and we have to do it more quickly, and Republicans and Democrats got to get their act together in Washington to do something on this.
When are we going to get a bill signed here? When are we going to get this when are we going to get
about,
this finished?
Speaking about Republicans and Democrats getting together, first of all, I just want to say I want to thank you for really informing your listeners on what's going on at the Capitol. I think that's, you know, there's a whole host of way the information gets to listeners, and when it is only a half inch thick, I don't think they get the full story. So I appreciate the way you guys present what's going on in Hartford.
Thank you.
We are trying very desperately to put a deal together. And it does take time because I think the first time in a long time, we started with the letter A and said, okay, why do we have to do A? What's the importance of A? We're now moved to B. That's never happened in the building. Generally what happens is there's a framework, and then the Republicans get pulled in for, you know, maybe the last four letters of the alphabet, and that's it, and the others are non-movable. This is the first time, literally, we are going through each segment of revenue, policy, policy now, policy for generations, direction of the state. And that takes a lot of time. It's a very complicated budget. And I think the experience that we're all having, whether or not we get a deal, I think the experience that we're having is pretty eye-opening. For the first time, ears are open on both sides of the table to really hear what their vision of Connecticut is and how these policies get them to their vision. And where we disagree, why we disagree, not just because Republicans and Democrats, but why the policy we may disagree with. And we find there might be fundamental disbeliefs that we don't share or share on different issues. That is so eye-opening, and to a large extent, I think not only helps this budget process, but will help the legislative process. And it's been really good for the state and helping. With that being said, it has made those items that we've talked about not just whimsical, okay, I'll give you A if you give me B, but saying, no, I'm not going to give you A unless you explain why A is important to the state and what policy A does. I don't ever remember hearing or seeing those conversations take place.
How long is it going to take? This is what I hear everywhere when I'm out with people. Brad, when are they going to get this taken care of? I mean, we're one of three other states. It's ridiculous what's going on.
It is, but you know, Brad, here's the thing. The state's at a crossroads. I honestly believe that. Economically, for the next 2 years, and viability-wise, for the next generation. And so what we do now is so critical. And here's the choice. The choice is we don't take time at the table, don't talk about our differences, and just fight. Or we really talk. I mean, it's marriage counseling to the nth degree. It takes time to really work out. This is not, you're talking $5 billion. How do you solve it? Well, yeah, if you want to get to the table and say, okay, they want to raise X number of dollars in taxes, we say no, that's not going to solve it. Number two, other than our budget that passed, there's no other budget out there that can garner enough support to get through the General Assembly. So if you're going to make a bipartisan budget, you've got to talk about your differences. And then you've got to write language that when we come to an agreement to make sure we understand that what we say we can put in language, we sign off on our language. This is very difficult. It's not like we're getting together telling jokes and wasting time. We're having very solid conversations. I apologize for the fact that it's taking long, but I will not apologize for the fact that we need to take that time to get it right and make sure that we can come out bipartisan agreement. Because if we don't, the governor's executive orders, which he's going to amend, but the governor's executive orders become take home, and a lot of towns and cities get hurt. So we're having, don't forget, just because we agree at that table on an issue, we have to go back to our caucus because count the numbers of votes count. And we got to our caucus, this is what we did. And they're going to say, we don't like that. We told you we don't like that. Okay, I get it. This is why we did what we did. Here's the policy. Well, you got to understand it if you can explain it to your caucus.
We're running out of time, so I want to get in a couple more questions. But, Senator, are there, and we've been hearing from the Speaker of the House that the Democrats are moving off of some of their points and the Republicans are moving off of some of their points in order to get a deal, but are there certain areas on both the Democratic side and the Republican side where there's not going to be any give, where, for example, the Republicans are insistent, we're not going to agree to a deal unless this is included?
Yes. So there are some points out there that we've put stakes in the ground, and the question is, can you massage those areas and still get a deal done? And those are difficult conversations. I mean, we've already had some, and we've massaged some. The question is, the others that remain, we're going to be tackling those next week.
Next week?
Monday.
Okay.
We're exchanging language today.
You say Monday.
Yes, we're getting together Monday, but today we're exchanging language, and some of our ranks and chairs are getting together on certain line items to have conversation, budgetary numbers, to have conversations. And we're going to be talking about policy this weekend, but we're exchanging language today that we've drafted, and we'll draft the rest of today, exchange that language, have a phone conversation over the weekend, and then on Monday move to another topic.
Now, as you know, the governor's out meeting with the press every day and is in a bit of a snit because he's not included in these talks. What do you say to that?
Well, I think he's trying to stay relevant. He does, you know, the governor has an ego. He doesn't want to be left out. Why he feels the need to be the way he's being is beyond my scope. I mean, I said what I said yesterday in the press release because I was angry, because we're working very, very hard. The Democrats can't do it against their own governor, so I said, well, I'm going to do it, because I know what they're feeling. I think everybody's in their earnest. I think having conversations with the governor were just not moving at all, although I think he was very helpful, as I said, in getting us all in a room together, and I thank him for that. But why he had to go be sort of snippy yesterday doesn't make any sense to me. But that's his character. So I need to push back to let him know I don't think that's appropriate.
Well, again, it's a tough one. There's no question, and it's built, as I've said many times, over the years. It didn't just happen yesterday.
I agree with you. It has happened over the years. And one of the things we are talking about is how we could prevent this from reoccurring years from now if we get out of this hole, which is going to take time. And one thing that we're talking about at that table are what are the policies we could put in place today that will stop the state of Connecticut ever falling into this trap again. And that's the first time, I think, Republicans and Democrats together are talking about that solution. And that's very, very complicated. That's spending cap, issuance bonding cap, taboos in that capital for eons. Well, we're talking about them. And they're not going to help me, or maybe you guys, but it's going to help, you know, my kids and my grandkids. So that's what we're talking for a future of Connecticut. And we're hoping businesses who want to stay in for a long time are going to look at that and say, you know what, these guys are really planning for the future. Connecticut has a bright future with this fiscal budget. I'm going to stay, or I'm going to invest in Connecticut. That's our goal.
And we thank you so much, Senator. You always are there, and thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank
good
you
luck.
Guys. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you bye-bye. Too. Take care.